Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
I am thankful for the spirit of this church and its great heart for Jesus.
I like all of the nice people and the chance to make new friends.
I'm most grateful for the people. The people of Stonebridge have been really awesome for us the past 5 years.
I am most thankful for all the nice people that treat me well and all the people that help at the services.
My favorite thing about Stonebridge United Methodist Church is the people and their big hearts.
I feel the same way. Really, what I'm most grateful for as I think about the opportunity to be one of the pastors here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church is to be among you, to be among the people who make this church happen. You know, I grew up in the church. My father was a pastor, and so I've spent most of my life in the church someplace. And I can honestly tell you that the most influential people in my life, the people who have influenced my faith the most, have not been other pastors. In fact, I sort of see through all those other pastors because as I kind of grew up with it and am one now. But when I see the faithfulness of people in the church, people who invest in each other, people who invest in me, who invest in the community, people who invest in each other, I get inspired and I'm in awe of the ways that the church comes together to be the body of Christ for the world. Today in the life of the church, liturgically in the church, we celebrate All Saints Sunday, the Sunday after Halloween is the day that we take a moment to remember those who have faithfully lived and have finished their course in faith and have finished the race and are now celebrating and worshiping us with the saints on high in heaven. And so we're going to take just a couple of minutes and think about those folks in our life who may have lost this year, who have been influential for us and have made a difference and have made an investment in our life and our faith. I think in particular of a friend of mine named Jan, who passed away this past year. She was a member of my previous church, and she came into the church, just sort of snuck in, and we can't even remember quite when she first showed up. And then she got involved with a Bible study, and people started to get to know her. And she had been a retired school teacher, and so as folks got to know her and got to know how special she was, we realized just what an incredible person she was to be around. And people just sort of flocked to Jan because she had this wisdom, and she had this spirit about her that called people for encouragement and accountability and love and support. And she did that to me as well. And she emerged as one of our leaders in the church, became one of our church council leaders, and it just became a huge, huge blessing in my life. And this past summer, she was in San Antonio to celebrate her 60th birthday. On the night before her 60th birthday, she was going to dinner with some family members, and she had an aneurysm, and she was walking down a flight of stairs, tripped and fell, and never regained consciousness and passed away. And I miss Jan a lot, and I thank God for her life and for her influence and for the ways that she impacted not only my life, but she impacted the church and the way that the church will continue. And so the way that we can celebrate and honor those who have gone before us is to think about the legacy that they left and the ways that we can then build on what they started. So I want to invite us into a moment of prayer just to remember those who we love and who have finished their race. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful God, we do pause this morning to give you thanks for those special people in our lives who lived the life of faith, who ran their course, and their race is now finished, and they rest and celebrate with you. And we give you thanks, God, for the assurance that someday we know we might be reunited. We'll see their smiles again and be in their presence and be in your presence. We look forward to that day. But in the meantime, gracious God, help us in the here and now to build on the legacy of faithfulness that our loved ones left, so that when it is our time, people might remember us. They'll remember a little of what we looked like. They'll remember a little bit about what we might have done in our lives, but mostly they'll remember the legacy of faith, the seeds of faith that we tried to plant, the investment that we make in other people, the ways that we let your love for us shine through so that others might see your love in our face and be drawn to you. In all things, gracious God, we do honor those that we've lost. We remember them and we grieve for them. But we celebrate that together, as your body and the communion of saints, we are still called to be the light of Christ for the world. Help us to do that and to be that in everything that we do. Amen. Over the next several weeks, Pastor David and I are going to be talking about the importance of giving thanks. It's November. It's kind of an appropriate time to think about giving thanks. And so this series will specifically help remind us of God's blessings, and in particular, the gift of God that we call the church. Talk about why the church matters, what the church means, and how we plan to be the church going forward. And so there are four components of this that help to remind us of what to be thankful for, and we'll be talking about these over the next several weeks. Today, we'll begin the series by talking about how the church, at its core, at its heart, is a lay-driven movement of the Spirit of God. Next week, we'll talk about how our church, we're grateful for a church that invests in our children and our youth and the ways that we plant seeds of faith in those who will be the future of the church. We'll talk about how the church is in mission and on a mission and the ways that we are the church all around the world and the things that we do to be the church. And then finally, we'll talk about how the church is a gift, God's gift, that God entrusts to us to share with all those around us. We get to give that away. Now, as we get started, we kind of have to have some working definitions of what the church is and what the church is not, because sometimes we have different understandings of what we're talking about. So let's just make sure we're on the same page. First of all, the church is not, the way we're talking about the church is not a building. A building is a place where the church sometimes gathers, but the building is not the church, okay? Second, the church is not a ministry. A ministry is an activity of the church, but a ministry is not the church. The church might have ministries, the church will have programs and activities, but those things are not the church. And then finally, the church is not an institution. Now, an institution is the framework around many local churches, how many churches are organized, but at its core, what we're talking about as the church is not the institution of the church. We're talking about a church that is a community, a fellowship, a family of faith centered around our belief that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, and that as the people of Jesus Christ and as the church of Jesus Christ, we get to share in that great work. And so we have to remember that the head of the church is not a pastor or a bishop or a pope or a church council chairperson. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. And we worship Jesus Christ, and we follow Jesus Christ, and we follow his teaching, we follow his commands. And the first priority of the church is to follow the commands of Jesus Christ, to love God as with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the foundation aspect of what it means to be the church. No matter whose picture's on the website, no matter whose name is on the door, anything else, it's all about following Jesus and being the church of Jesus Christ together, his body in the world. So at its core, the church is a lay-driven movement of God's Holy Spirit. And when we function like that, the local church is the hope of the world. Unfortunately, there are several churches that function a different way, and they have certain kinds of members. And you may have heard this story before. If you have, just bear with me. But a lot of churches kind of function like this. There was a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. So it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Now, unfortunately, I think that sometimes the church sometimes functions that way, that we expect that, oh, that's a job for certain people, and oh, that work belongs to someone else, and oh, somebody else will take care of that. And the truth is that when we're all working together, That's when the church has its power. That's when the church has its movement. And there's a couple of great stories in the New Testament that really speak to the aspect of the church being a lay-driven movement of God that I want to share with you this morning. If you have a Bible with you or Bible app on your phone, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. And I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. So when Jesus had called the 12 disciples together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. And so we have early in the Gospel of Luke, the story of Jesus gathering the 12 disciples and then sending them out to preach in his name, to heal the sick and drive out demons. And then I flip the page and I get to Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, and I get this story. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Now, what fascinates me about these two stories, the one in Luke chapter 9 and then the one in Luke chapter 10, the story of Jesus sending out the 12 and then the story of Jesus sending out the 72, is how early in the gospel stories these things occur. I mean, the Gospel of Luke's like 24 chapters long, and these are happening in chapters 9 and 10. The story isn't even half told yet, and Jesus is already sending his followers out to do his work. He's taught them a few things, but he hasn't taught them everything. They haven't experienced the crucifixion or the resurrection. They know nothing. They are completely unprepared for this work. And yet Christ calls them and sends them out and promises that he will equip them for the journey as they go and are faithful to him. And so what we read in Luke chapter 9, verse 6, is that they went out from village to village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. The disciples did it. They preached in Jesus' name, and they healed people. They were successful in their mission. And then in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, a little further in the story, this verse is awesome. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And so Jesus had sent out these disciples. Even though they were not well-trained and not fully prepared to do that work, he sent them out, and they were successful. Their mission to do what Jesus had told them to do had borne fruit, and it was an incredible movement, a precursor of what the church would become as people are sent out to be the church of Jesus Christ. And so I think it's important for us to remember that this was not something that had been done, sharing ministry in the church was not something that Jesus' disciples would have been familiar with, because the temple, you remember, the high priest in the temple was the only one who was allowed to go in the special room called the Holy of Holies, where they believed that the Spirit of God was present there in the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go into that place. And so people, regular people like us, were kept at a distance from being in the presence of God. And then Jesus came, and he broke down that barrier, and he granted access to God to anyone who believed in him. And so we have what we call the priesthood of all believers, that all believers in Jesus Christ have a ministry, that we're all called to a ministry to fulfill, and that every member is a ministry. And Jesus was modeling this and giving his disciples an opportunity to practice this, even very early in the gospel story. And then as we read into the book of Acts, we see how the development of the early church started to happen and how well-intentioned leaders were trying to make sense of Jesus and trying to understand what this whole church thing was going to be about. And some were trying to balance the customs of Judaism with these new ideas of Jesus, and some were just trying to do their own thing completely. And they didn't always get it right, honestly. But they persevered. And the church prevailed, and it continues to prevail even to us today. We are part of that movement. And all along the centuries, there were theologians who were trying to interpret Scripture and then try to use their reason and their experience of God and the traditions of the church to make sense of some of these very difficult issues that we still wrestle with today. And the reason why we still wrestle with them is not everything that theologians wrestle with is specifically addressed in Scripture. You can't always point to the chapter and verse where that particular doctrine is completely interpreted or completely explained. And so we continue to wrestle with these questions, and we continue to study them, and theologians argue about them and continue to argue about them over the centuries. And the debates are fun intellectual exercises, but ultimately that's not what the church is about. The church is not about institutionalism or organizational structures or denominations. At its core, going back to Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10, the church is a grassroots, lay-driven movement of God's Holy Spirit. And if we're faithful to that, then we can see God at work in all kinds of incredible ways. And when people serve with passion and with joy, we see the world transformed. We see people living and serving as new creations of Jesus Christ. And sometimes theologians help give us language and new understanding, and sometimes pastors help give direction to facilitate that movement. But ultimately, the power of the church through God's Holy Spirit rests with the passion and the perseverance of its people. And that's why I'm thankful for you. Because as the church together, we get to share in what God is doing in our world. And we've talked a little bit about what that looks like when the church is working right. We've talked the last several weeks about the marks of Christian discipleship and how when people are proactively nurturing their faith through spiritual disciplines, then they're growing and becoming deeper in love with God. And when people are forming organic, intentional learning communities, sometimes, you know, we're asked, can you start new groups for this or that? And we're happy to do those things, but the best groups I've found are the ones that start sort of organically. When people get together and say, hey, let's do this together, and when they start doing it, and then maybe we help give some resources or some direction to those groups and help them stay on track. When people are using and deploying their spiritual gifts and service to God, when we understand that we're all gifted and we all have gifts that we can use for God's service, and that we start to deploy them, we start to use them and start to see how those things really do help change lives. When we discover the blessings of being faithful and generous with what God has blessed us with, and we return that back to God. And when our witness in the world demonstrates something that others want to know more about, these are the ways that we really build God's kingdom. And this is my vision and my hope for Stonebridge Church, is that this is what we would become, that we would be a place where all of these things are at work and all these things are happening, and our people are passionately pursuing the calling of Christ in our lives. We're not all called to ordained ministry. When you hear somebody talk about my calling into ministry, it can't always be about those who are called to ordination. We all have a calling into ministry. And it's up to each of us to find out what that is and then to respond to it and go where it is that God calls us to go. Because ultimately, a lay-driven church means this. We are governed by a church council. That's a group of people in the church who are elected, lay people in the church, and a handful of pastoral staff to help give direction to that. And our council sets the vision and direction for the church. And we are staff guided in that we have a staff that helps give resources and encouragement to people as they are finding their calling and starting new things. But the core of the church and the ultimate hope of the church rest in the fact that we are lay driven. Which means that every ministry of the church is dependent on the energy and the talent and the personnel and the money and the ideas that are generated from you. And that your work in furthering the work of the church and building the kingdom of God is vital, is absolutely critical to the success of a church in our community. So I think back to the story of Jesus sending out the 12. He sent out the 12 disciples, and they went out and they preached in Jesus' name, and they healed the sick, and they drove out demons, and they came back, and they were really excited about what God had done in their midst. And this crowd of people started to follow Jesus around, and Jesus stopped by the side of the road someplace, and he was going to teach them. And they counted about 5,000 of them there who were listening to Jesus teach them, and they realized that none of them had anything to eat. You might remember part of this story. And so the disciples said to Jesus, "Jesus, we got 5,000 people here, and there's nothing for them to eat." This is all happening in Luke chapter 9, 10 through 17. And Jesus says something very, very fascinating to them in Luke chapter 9, verse 13. He says, "You give them something to eat." Now remember, they had just come back from having preached and healed and driven out demons in Jesus' name. Jesus is assuming that they caught on, that they have the power to feed all of these people. And the disciples say, "But Lord, we don't have anything to give them." And so Jesus, in his great grace and mercy, wraps his arms around them and says, "Okay, once again, I'll show you what you too are capable of." And he gathers up the loaves and the fishes, and he multiplies them, and the 5,000 people are fed. And the disciples are in awe of what they saw Jesus do, but Jesus reminded them, "You're going to do these things too. You are capable of these things. You are capable of getting together and using your collective energy and your collective intellect and your collective passion to solve the world's problems, and I'm going to count on you to do it. Because you're not going to see me all the time in a short while. And I still want this work to be done. And it's up to you. It's your work if you'll take it." So the Church of Jesus Christ depends and rests upon passionate, persevering people who tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to create a lay-driven movement of the Spirit of God. And it can change your life. It can turn your life completely around. It can send you to some place you never expected to go. And in case you don't believe me, I want you to hear from a friend of ours, Courtney Schultz, who's on our staff, and she's going to tell her story of how this played out in her life. Courtney.
Good morning. When Pastor John asked me to share a part of my journey with you all, I was very excited. It's one of my favorite things to do, to tell how God and the church have worked in my life to change me, to redirect me, and to mold me. You see, before I was in seminary and on the path to ordination and working in pastoral ministry, I was just like you. I sat in a seat on Sunday mornings when I came to worship, and I went to Sunday school. As a lay member of the church, that's how I began. But you have to know that I wasn't always a member of the church. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't go to church as a child. I sporadically visited churches through youth groups in high school. It wasn't actually until my early 20s when someone invited me along to come and experience what the church could do and what God could do through the people there that I began to find the thing that I had been missing. So I started out like most people do, coming to worship and going to Sunday school and being a really great church attender. And that's exactly who I was when my husband Chris and I walked through the doors of Faith United Methodist Church in Corinth, Texas in January of 2010. We had moved from Mississippi to Texas and we were trying to find a new place to call home in the world of church, and that's where we landed. And I was a great church attender. But as I was there, something began happening in my time at Faith. I began hearing God call to me for more, to ask me for more. So I got involved. I began responding. I joined Bible studies. We were asked to be ushers and greeters, so we did those things, and I became the welcoming face once a month at the door. But God kept asking for more. I could feel a tug happen. Every time I took a step and got more involved, I could feel the Spirit moving. And you see, something beautiful happens when you answer God's call to serve, both inside the church building and community and outside of it. You start to learn a little bit more about what God wants you to see. Your eyes are open. You see a little bit more of what God wants you to see about yourself, what God wants you to see about others, and what God wants you to see about God. And that was certainly my experience on this journey. I found that serving can be challenging and rewarding. But most of all, I found that serving brought me closer to God, deeper in my faith. So God kept asking, and I kept responding. I started a Bible study for stay-at-home moms at a local coffee shop. We would meet there once a week while our children went to preschool. And when that became ineffective after several months, I found that there was a Bible study meeting at my church, and I worked with the church staff to secure childcare for that hour and a half. And I started inviting my stay-at-home mom friends to come with me. Many of them already had church homes, but it was a great way for us to come together once a week and study. That Bible study grew and grew, and they invited friends, and many of them still attend it even now, even though I'm no longer there, and they have other church homes. I answered the call that the Spirit had moved in me after a sober encounter with hunger and homelessness during a 30-hour famine experience with the youth group. I found God asking for more again. Out of that movement of the Spirit and my willingness to serve and answer grew something called Love Lunch Sack Denton. And this was a program where I, along with some volunteers, would go out every Saturday morning and take sack meals to the homeless who were all around the city of Denton. I did this for 6 months every Saturday. I went out to serve, sometimes with a couple of helpers, sometimes with my family, and sometimes just by myself. And when I found it time to move here and begin my time here at Stonebridge, I was really honestly disappointed to have to close that chapter of ministry. But through the power of prayer and the movement of Spirit, some other faithful people in Denton at the soup kitchen, they took over this piece of ministry, and they began making sure that the homeless that needed meals on Saturday morning would get them. That was an answer to a prayer for me. I want you to hear that I did all of this as a lay person. There's really nothing different between me and you. I didn't have any extra special gifts or graces any more than you do. I simply answered the callings that God continued to put on me. God asked, I responded. I tapped into the gifts that God gave me and allowed them to be used by God. Being a lay person doesn't limit your ministry. You are empowered by the Spirit, and you can do great and mighty things through that. So how did I end up seeking ordination? Each time I served, each time I stepped up and did the next thing that I was being asked to do, I could feel the Spirit telling me that there was something different I was being called to. Not just to serve out in the mission field, but to serve in the church community. So I served on SBR, I served in hospitality, I led Bible studies, but still there was a piece missing. I could feel that I was being called into ordained ministry. And as I prepared to go on a walk to Emmaus in March of 2012, I just began to pray. I prayed that God would make this clear to me. I prayed leading up to that walk. I prayed every hour I was on that walk that my purpose and my place would be made clear, and it was. I knew at the end of my time there that I would seek ordination in the church. If you don't know what a walk to Emmaus is, I'd love to share more with you about that experience and what it can do to really change you and to give you direction in your place in ministry. So that's out of that. Love Lunch Sack was born, and I took my place as the youth leader on the leadership team at Faith, and it kind of was a snowball after that. I found myself here in August of 2013 with my professional ministry career being born. So if you've been doing the math, that all happened in 5 years. That seems fast. But here's what I have found to be true about serving God, is when you tap into the place that you're being called to serve, people who do that want more. They don't want to slow down. They don't want to stop. They want to keep serving. They want to keep finding the place that they're called. And that was certainly my experience. And I did all of that, all 5 years of that, up until this point as a layperson. You need only answer whatever call has given you, and you too will do great and mighty things, the same as the disciples that Pastor John talked about. We see the power of those who follow Jesus depicted in our Bibles. The disciples healed, they exorcised demons, they preached the good news, and after Jesus was resurrected, they continued to do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. And each of Jesus's followers, including us, has that same power at our disposal. And we too can do great and mighty things.
God, we thank you so much for the miracle of your economy, that in such a small little taste of bread and a small little taste of juice, we could be nourished, filled, and strengthened in such powerful ways. We thank you for your Spirit that moves among us. We thank you for your love that resides in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be united in communion with each other as your church and sent forth on a particular mission for a particular purpose to change lives and to transform the world with your love, your mercy, and your grace, to bring a word of hope and encouragement to a world that seems so broken and lost at times. We're grateful to you and in awe that you would entrust us with this great work. And we pray your blessing upon us as we go forth to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.